So we left off of the previous shiur, where Tosfos gave us a tremendous chiddush within the principle of chatichat asas nevela that limits chatichat asas nevela to a significant amount. So let's just review back for a moment. So the original concept of chatichat asas nevela, the Gemara already introduced to us in the topic of a tipas cholov shenofa ala chaticha. If you have a drop of milk that falls onto a piece of meat, and the piece of meat is not mixed in together with everything else yet. So we have really, in a sense, two different stages of tarovus. So when tarovus number one happens, it's only a tarovus between the tipas cholov and the piece of meat. So we have to look at the piece of meat, count up shishim, and we realize that we fall short. So we have to trade for the piece of meat. So the piece of meat of tarovus number one is supposed to be cholov midaraisa. It has meat in it, it has milk in it, the top is not botel, so that's derech bishul, it's the worst of the worst. That's supposed to be cholov midaraisa. Then this piece of meat now falls into another tarovus because you start to stir the pot. When you stir the pot, so now the meat that was on top of the pot now becomes in the pot, everything is mixed together. Now you have tarovus number two. So comes the Gemara's Mechadish to us that it's no longer sufficient just to look at the drop of milk and say, well, Baruch Hashem, now I have shishim kenega the milk, that's not going to work. Now you have to reckon kenega the entire first piece of meat. Because once chatichat asas nevela kicked in, so the entire piece of meat, literally, chatichat asas nevela, the whole piece of meat became a trace of piece of meat, not literally the issa nevela. Nevela here is a code phrase for bas mecholov. That means we view the entire first piece of meat as becoming a shtik nevela, the piece of nevela, and now you need chashishim kinega the entire first piece of meat. So that was the ABCs of chatichat asas nevela. We had a machlokes and rishonim, Rabbi Rafar, Rabbi Natam. Is that unique to Bas Mecholov? Does that spill over to other Yisurim? But again, at least in the Rav Bas Mecholov, everyone's buying into this idea of Chaticha Nasas Nevela. So comes Tosfos and says that when do we apply Chaticha Nasas Nevela? That means as follows. That means that we view the first piece of meat, that first Chaticha, that first Aroves, as a Dovra Asur, vis-a-vis Shishim, vis-a-vis calculation, vis-a-vis trying to figure out how much Isra is here. Is it just a little cholov here, or is it a big piece of meat? So when we take on our shishim calculators, it's not sufficient just to look at the little drop that's here. We have to look at the whole bigger picture. That's chatichat asas nevela. However, what chatichat asas nevela does not mean, says Tosfos, it doesn't mean that first tarovus takes on a life of itself. It doesn't mean that first tarovus, the meat in the first tarovus, can travel any further than the original milk could travel. If for whatever reason the original Dovra Oser is stopped dead in its tracks, and for whatever technical reason, whether that reason is Kadalipas, other reasons, Mephi, you name it, whatever the reason is, if the original Dovra Oser cannot go past a certain point, then the Dovra HaNesar will not go past that point either. So notwithstanding Chatichat Asas Nevela, it's not exactly true, says Tosfos. It's true vis-a-vis volume, but it's not true vis-a-vis ability and distance being able to travel. What prompted Tosfos to say this? So Tosfos had a couple of technical questions. Yeah, the issue of kashering meat. If you remember, we had a situation where half the meat fell into the blood and the salt on the bottom, half in and half out. And Mefapeya, Tosfos had a whole razzle-dazzle technical issue in terms of what was kashering that prompted this svara. Then they had another kasha from the very institution of klipa, as we spoke a lot about last week, that there is a concept in halacha of asrin kedei klipa. When it applies, to what it applies, those are technical details, but there are mishnayos, there are gemaras, there are sugyos and shas that talk about situations that arise where the issa doesn't penetrate entirely, it only penetrates to the point of klipa. So we ask Tosfos, wait a second, if it only penetrates to the point of klipa, why doesn't that klipa itself nasa in the vela? And then let that klipa prohibit the next klipa, and then say again, chatichat asas nevela. You say it a few times, the domino effect, so you just turned it into an issa bekulo. So how do Chazal describe a mere kedei klipa? Isn't every kedei klipa, by definition, going to contaminate the entire piece of meat based on chatichat asas nevela? So Tosfos says, no, the buck stops here. That ein ha-ne'esar yochol le'esar, ela b'mokom sher iser atzmo yochol le'ech l'sham. That first klipa, which is the Dovr HaNesar, Yochol Le'asar, it can't Asar something else. Ela B'makom, it can only go as far as the Isser Atzma, the original Dovr Asar could travel. And since the original Dovr Asar, what is being stopped, because it was only Tzli, it was only Malicha, whatever reason, doesn't matter why, if the original Dovr Asar can't go past point X, then the Dovr HaNesar can't go point X either. So Tosfos was very, very convinced that there is such a concept. They use it to solve a whole array of questions. Again, we still are not quite sure what this is based on. How do we explain this in the world of oneness? What's it based on? But again, we're accepting Tosfos' observations right now.
You know what's missing here is Tom. I mean, the whole basis for Batal B'Shishin is that it's Chazal's determination that in a place where you can't determine Tom, there's no Goy. So you go based upon this simple mathematical formula, right? When you have this whole issue of tipas cholov that somehow ruins a piece of meat, fine, I understand the piece of meat is ruined. But now, what is going to make that piece of meat taste so much milkier now that it falls into a lot more pieces of meat? You know?
Excellent, but that's exactly what Chanan Sfeil is addressing and saying that piece of meat doesn't have to taste any more milkier because that piece of meat itself is usser. So right. Once that piece of meat is usser, now when that piece of meat falls into other meat, that piece of meat is giving off whether it's tam in a min b'shin amino or whether it's just min b'mino also asas b'shishim. So it doesn't really matter anymore, the milk, and you're 100% right. When you taste that second tarov is down the line, you're not tasting any milk. I can guarantee you there's no milk in that second tarobus. You're not tasting it. But once the first piece of meat became usher, it's like a tray for a piece of meat falling to another piece of meat.
So
Tom gets the ball rolling. You're right. Tom gets the ball rolling, but now it takes Chetik Nasvela means it takes on a life of itself. That's exactly what Chetik Nasvela means. So Tosfos has one more proof to the theory, and then once we have all the proofs in place, then we have to go back to the drawing board and begin to analyze where Tosfos got this from, what's it based on, and does everybody actually agree to this theory of Tosfos? So going back to the end of the second of the Maamar Kamos, Tosfos says, I'm going to prove to you a third proof that my Yesod is correct. It's 33 lines from the bottom. The middle of the line, Oteda, says Tosfos, another proof. De'ilo Teimachi, Tosfos almost is ready to rise to the challenge. If you don't say what I'm saying, says Tosfos, if you're going to argue with me and you're going to tell me, no, it's not true, it doesn't make any sense, this distinction, says Tosfos, then I'll tell you what the result of your argument is. Ein lecha basam mutar li'olam, says, enjoy because you can't have any meat. Unless you buy into our theory, all meat in the world is going to be treif. What? How did that happen? So Tosfos makes a very, very simple calculation. Da kaimalon, because we all know, whenever we salt meat, it sits in the salt for a long time. Now the truth is, it doesn't have to literally sit for so long, but it does. Kasha meat sits there for a while. It says, we all know that kosher meat is saltier tasting than non-kosher meat. That's yadua. That sometimes actually as a way when they, if sometimes in the world of Ashkochas, if they suspect that something fishy is going on, you know, sometimes you hear these stories about they discovered that all of a sudden these chickens in the butcher store were treif. They discovered that this meat was getting from a treif supply. How did they discover it? If things aren't marked properly, how did they discover it? So one of the ways of discovering is they test it for salt. It means you send it out to the lab and see if it. If there's meat that's sitting in a butcher store that's being sold and it's not salty, that means it wasn't salted. If it wasn't salted, that means it's not coming from a kosher source. Because all the kosher places have salt. All the chickens are being koshered in the plants now. So if there's a chicken sitting in a butcher store somewhere and it doesn't test for sodium in the laboratory, that's a bad sign. That means it was never koshered, which in turn means it was probably never shechted either. So that's what Tosfos says here also, in effect. Tosfos says that if you taste, not that we're going to taste non-kosher, but if you taste meat that wasn't kosher, you taste meat that was kosher, you'll taste the differences, does it? So it's going to taste saltier. If you have few hachi, lo amrinan, the melech shel abosar, hanechmas machmas adam, yachsov yeser as abosar. So it says, wait a second. When we koshered the meat, so then some of the blood got into some of the taste of the blood has to have gone into the salt. And why aren't we worried about that? Well, the blood itself we're not worried about because we washed all the blood off. Remember we spoke about this on Wednesday, that the blood is not mefapeh. The blood doesn't seep back in as long as it's not in a kliha, in a manukah. If it's sitting in a tub without a hole, without a place to drain, that's a disaster. Then the blood goes out, goes right back in again. But as long as the blood has a place to drain out, so we're not worried about the blood, frektai zakasha. Why aren't we worried about the salt? Why don't we say that the salt now became chaticha nasas nevela, and we can taste the salt? So Tosa says that the blood goes into the salt, the blood is out, the blood's finished, the blood's gone, but the salt itself should be treif. How could you ignore it? I taste the salt. So Tos says the answer is, even though the taste of the salt is going into the meat, that doesn't bother us. The taste of the blood isn't there. But why does that solve the problem? Why don't we say, at least according to Rabbi Natan, why don't we say that the salt became a shtickle blood, it became a chatich of nevela, became a chatich of treifas? So the answer is no, that doesn't work, says Tosfos. Chatich anas nevela just means if and when you have some of the treifa food here, some of the original problem here, then you need shishim keneged the whole piece. But in the case of salty, you have no blood here, because blood doesn't penetrate. When it's a klibinuka, the blood just slides off, slips off, and falls down the drain. So you have no dam here. You want to apply chetichanas nevela to say that just as the original dam should have potentially asered, so too the salt should travel as well. That salt can't go further than blood. And the blood can't go, because the blood slides off, the salt can't go either. So those are just proved beyond the shadow of a doubt, based on three proofs. Based on the proof of the meat that fell into the salt and the water yesterday, 2 days ago, based on the institution of Kedei Klipa, and based on the very institution of Kashering, that this is Yesoda, Yesodos, that a Dover, a Osir, goes distance X, at kan v'lo yoser, and even the dava hanasa, the chaticha, quote unquote, shenasa zaneila, will not travel further than the original issa.
Are they saying that the nosing tam, the meat gives the salt the nosing
tam? No. The salt gives the meat. When you eat a piece of
salt, draws out the blood.
But it also makes the meat saltier. So when you.
But there's no nosing tam from the blood.
Oh, that's exactly what tells it. Well, at first it gets mixed in together. When you put salt onto meat, and now the blood's coming out, so the salt is absorbing a little bit of that blood, but it's all going out. Eventually, it's all being discarded. So Tosfos asked, yeah, it's being discarded, but since the salt itself became usur, because it had a bliya of blood, it should now go and penetrate into the whole meat. And Tosfos says, that's where the buck stops here, that it can't travel.
It's sort of like it can't have it both ways. According to Tosfos, it would be more of a chiddush rather than a metzius. In other words, it's not a metzius. If Tos was saying this at a Metzius, and a Metzius wasn't correct, then Tos...
Okay. Hang in for the Metzius / halacha part of the problem. That's going to become part of the next discussion. So again, so we have Tos's proofs, we have Tos's theory, but now we have to stop and ask ourselves, is this enough to convince us of this Yisod? This is such a difficult conceptual lomdashi Yisod called Ein HaNesar, because it's almost like a Maman of Shach. Like, make up your mind. Do you believe in Chetichanas Nevela now? If you really, truly believe that the first piece of meat, the first food became treif, how can you tell me a story that it became treif vis-a-vis volume of shishim, but it didn't become treif for Gabi distance? I mean, it answers all the kashas, but it presents a more powerful kashya. I mean, it doesn't seem to make any sense. How can you have these two halachas that seem to be so contradictory one to another? So the truth is that Tosfos would probably never would have said what they said just simply to answer a couple of kashas, how do you kashya meat? There's something more behind this Tosfos. There is a reason, there is something that prompted Tosfos to say this, and what prompted Tosfos to say this is interesting because our Tosfos doesn't even quote it, but other Rishonim quote it in the name of the Baal Tosfos. Other Rishonim say that the Ri, who was the source of most of our Tosfos, the Ri actually said that this Yisod that I'm saying, don't blame it on me. Don't think that I made it up. It's a Beferish Gemara. I mean, after you figure out what the Gemara is saying, then you figure out that it's a Beferish Gemara. So comes the Rishonim and point out that if you really look in between the lines and you learn the Sugyas and Chulin properly, you will realize that this Yisod of Ein HaNesar, Yochel Esar v'chule, which is so problematic in terms of Lamda, so seemingly contradictory, actually has its roots in a Gemara, but we have to learn that Gemara now. Of course, everything's going to hinge upon the reading of this Gemara and the third of the Rambam Kabbalists. And again, though, how one reads this Gemara is going to become so critical for us, both in terms of lumdas and in terms of practical application in our own kitchens. So we have to really, really make sure we understand what's going on in this Gemara properly. So with the third of the Mamakomos, the Gemara again starts with Tipas Cholov, but we learned the Mishnah about Tipas Cholov. Now the Gemara quotes a Brice about Tipas Cholov. So everybody's totally with the Tipas Cholov, to Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim, Rabbi Nasi. Every town under the sun is looking at the same Tipas Cholov and has what to say about it. So let's take a look at this Brice. So this sign you. Tipas cholov shenofel al chaticha. A drop of milk fell on a piece of meat. So again, this is not a whole pot worth. It didn't fall to the old shulin. It fell onto one piece of meat. Kevan shenos tatam b'chaticha. Once there is sufficient milk that fell on to prohibit the chaticha. Namely, we tried to taste, we got the goy to taste, and the goy said, listen, I taste the milk of this chaticha. So nevach, we had to say, is bas b'chov deraisa, chaticha atz benasas nevela. So the chaticha itself becomes treif, the oseres kol chaticha is kulim reishay mina. And then, that piece of meat will prohibit all the other pieces of meat, because this is Rabbi Yehuda who's speaking. Rabbi Yehuda happens to hold min b'mino ein abotel. Now that's already a whole other sugya down the line. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that whenever you have a tarovus of two things which are identical to one another, that's disaster. Shishim is not going to help you for that. Nothing. I feel a bit elflo bottle. Nothing's going to help you for that. Min b'mino ein abotel. How did Rabbi Yehuda know that? Where did Rabbi Yehuda dream this idea from? Up. So believe it or not, Rabbi Yehuda got it from the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Avodas Yom, what does that have to do with min b'mino ein abotel? A very simple calculation. Rabbi Yehuda imposes the following challenge to you. Have you ever seen a big, big bull, a big, big par? Have you ever seen a small little goat? A par is much, much bigger than a goat. What does that have to do with our kitchens? What does that have to do with Tipus Cholos? The Torah says that one of the parts of the Avodah in Yom Kippur is that you take the Dama par and the Dama soyer, you mix it together, and you throw it on the Mizbech. V'lokach midama par midama soyer, v'nas hakadosh Mizbech, saviv. So the Torah calls this mixture sitting in front of me the Dama Par, the Dama Sawyer. So Rabbi Yehuda challenges the Chumash and says, what do you mean it's the Dama Sawyer? What do you mean? It's Nachpatl Barov. It's a Lumda Shekashli. Imagine the Kohen Gadol standing by the Kodesh Kedoshim, and he's standing with the Dama, with Tom, it's mixed, it's ready at the Kodesh Kedoshim. He's the Dama Par, Dama Sawyer. He's standing there with Kedushim, and they're about to sprinkle the blood. And Rabbi Yehuda says, wait one second. He says, hold the phone. He says, there's no Dama Sawyer here. There's no dumb story here. It's bottle barov. That's Rabbi Yehuda's kasha. They always say it's
the
like the
bigger?
What? A par? You ever see a par?
More blood. Yeah.
You ever see a par? You ever see a sawyer? The Gemara says that hadava yadua shadama par ruvo dama sawyer.
You can take a half a liter of blood.
No, you have to take all the dama nefesh. No, you have to take all the dama nefesh. Wow. Yeah, not all the blood. All the dam that causes the animal to die. What's kalachli called the dama nefesh? So it's going to be a significantly more dam of the par than of the sawyer. So the Gemara says, "I dover yadua shadava par ruvo dama sawyer." I always say it's like there are two different ways of looking at mitzvah. Some people look at mitzvahs, more like the Hasidish of you. I mean, there's the kedusha, the tar, and the ilam asal yainim, and the nitzaitz. You can imagine if it would be a Hasidish of Kohen Gadol, he's standing there with the dama par, the dama sawyer, his vines, and then the mamash with the malachia shomers, and then there's the lifish Kohen Gadol. Lifish Kohen is looking at the dama, the var. What's going on? So Rabbi Yehuda was a shtick of a staggit, so he says, So Rabbi Yehuda says, it must be that the only reason why the Torah can still call it Dama Sawyer is because Mibavin and Abotel. That must be the Torah is teaching us the halacha, that since it's the same thing, blood is blood, it's not bottle. And you know what Rabbi Yehuda said based on that? And therefore, if you have a pot of kosher chicken soup cooking, and a teeny, teeny mashu drop of tray for chicken soup gets in, the whole thing has to be discarded min haTorah. It's not bottle barov, it's not bottle b'shishim, it's not bottle b'alav afi alofim. That's the chiddush haTorah min b'in about serving. Who the sur and the avodas hayom of Yom Kippur, a chiddush that applies to my kitchen is called min b'in in a bottle. That's the bad news. The good news is that nobody else won. The Chachamim asked the same kasha, and the Chachamim said, no, that's not why it's not bottle. The Chachamim also misnagged them. They also bothered with the kasha. Ah, it should be bottle. So the Chachamim said, all the name of Atlan Zezah. It's a quirk. There's a dinuchos based on mikdash that one carbon can't be involved with another carbon. Nothing to do with chicken soup, nothing to do with anything, nothing to do with mimino. But this is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. This Bryce is Rabbi Yehuda speaking, and Rabbi Yehuda says that once the milk trafed up the first piece of meat, so now the whole piece of meat is trafe. And therefore, if any small drop of that piece of meat contaminates another piece of meat, you can't even forget about being mevatel the milk. You can't even be mevatel b'shishim the whole chaticha, because mimimino in a bottle. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is the ultimate chaticha nasa nevela, that the first piece became so bad that now we apply, if you combine chaticha nasa nevela with mimimino in a bottle, if you put those two things together, then you just have to throw out everything, because kol chaticha zubeishim div Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim Omrim and the Chacham say not so fast. Ad shetiten tam bereita v'kipa v'chatiches. The Chacham say no, not so terrible. The Chacham say that just because a little drop of milk trafed up the first piece of meat, nishkafelach, if that piece of meat gets mixed up with all the other pieces of meat, no problem. Just ask yourself, do you have shishim keneged the tipa? Shishim keneged the tipa, what happened to chaticha nasas nevela? So the simple pshat is that the chama dinai chetichnas nevela. You know, we've been learning chum for 3 weeks. We've been working with this assumption chetichnas nevela. How dare anybody deny that? You want to tell me like Rabbeinu Ephraim? It's only for bas mechalav, not the shayim. I assume that it could be half be mekabel. Rabbeinu Tam couldn't even be mekabel that. But you want to deny it by bas mechalav? That's unheard of. It's unheard of till we got to Kuf Chesed Beis. The Chum deny. There were Tanoim who deny it. I didn't think we passed it like that, but there are Tanoim out there who deny Chetichanas of the Veil. So now the Brais has just presented to us the following scenario. Two-stage Tarevis. Milk fell onto a piece of meat, and then we declared that meat to be Osir, and now that meat gets mixed up with other meat. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's a disaster, because Rabbi Yehuda combines Chetichanas of the Veil with Minbamina in a bottle. Everything has to be discarded. The Chum say, Ma pito. The Chum say, forget Chichlas Nevela. As long as you have Shishim Kenega, the original drop, everything's great. So that was the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Nechama. So now it starts to get even more complicated. Omer Rebbe. Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, this is not the original Rabbi Yehuda, originally it was Rabbi Yehuda by Eloi. Comes Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, the next generation, and says the following. Nirin Divir Rabbi Yehuda, Vishalo Nir Vishalo Kisa. Says Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that everything became treif makes a lot of sense, provided that you didn't mix up the kedera, or you didn't cover the kedera. Covering kedera is like mixing it because it mixes all the steam and all the liquid, etc. But Rabbi Yehuda Shita only makes sense if you didn't mix the kedera. We're going to leave that out for now. So Rabbi Yehuda also is saying that we can meet Rabbi Yehuda halfway if you didn't mix the kedera. So now the Gemara has the following question: Milo near Velokisa. What does that mean? What do you mean you didn't mix the kedera? Ilei melonir klal. If Rabbi Yehuda Nasi meant that you didn't mix the kedera altogether, what would that mean practically? It means a drop of milk fell onto a chaticha that's outside of the whole mixture, and then that piece of meat is touching another piece of meat in the kedera, but it was never moved together. It was never moved, there was no rote there. There was no gravy. There was no water. There's nothing. Tipa hit chaticha number one. Chaticha number one touches number two, but it was never mixed together, which is a code phrase for saying there was never any gravy, there was never any relative. Is that what Rabbi Yehuda meant? So the Gemara says that is absurd. That cannot be possible for the following reason. And it's this one line, the Gemara, that's going to change our entire kitchens, as soon as we understand what that line means. Comes the Gemara and says, it's impossible for that to be what Rabbi Yehuda meant because of five very innocent words. Mevla bala. Neflat lo palat. That first piece of meat was bolea the milk, but that milk's not going anywhere. Nothing's going anywhere. You know why? Because there's no rotev, there's no gravy, there's no mixture, there's no liquid to have it travel. So the milk could trafe up the first piece of meat, but the first piece of meat cannot affect anything else in the pot because neflat lo palat, because it's simply touching. Just because a trafe piece of meat is touching a kosher piece of meat, that doesn't cause problems. It only causes problems when nearest a kedera, when you mix the kedera, i.e. when you start to introduce gravy.
That's nothing to do with temperature.
Nothing at all to do with temperature.
It could be hot.
I'll try to draw the case again because this is the Yesod HaYesodis. A drop of milk falls onto one piece of meat. So Nebuch...
Where's the piece of meat?
Piece of meat is being suspended. It's in... But it's not... It's in the pot, but not in the pot. Namely, it's not in the gravy. It's being held up, being propped up by another piece of meat. So imagine if you can see the picture.
Raw.
What?
Still raw.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's hot. It doesn't matter if it's raw or cooked. It might just heat there. So again, I have a big, big pot of loads of things. I got potatoes. I got meat. I got a whole shulchan in there. And then I have one piece of meat that's propped up above the gravy. Before the water, that's the key. It's propped up above the water line. A drop of milk falls onto that piece of meat. What do I say? Treif, not a shiloh. The guy tastes it. Oh, what a yummy, delicious milk that I can taste in that meat. It's unfinished. Also b'daraisa. And now I do nothing. I don't touch the kedera. So the Gemara says, if you don't touch the kedera, then everything else in the kedera is good to go. You know why? Because mevla bola. That first piece of meat was belea the milk. True, it was belea the milk. But meflat lo polat. But it didn't spread out the milk. The milk never left it. So since the milk never left it, so everything else is kosher. Those are the five magic words. Mevla bola, mevla lo polat. So the Rishonim quote from the Ri, who had two observations just concerning these five words. One was a Metzius question, and one is a much, much more profound halachic issue. The Metzius question is, the Ri asked the following question. I don't understand. When we say that the milk fell onto the piece of meat, and we say the piece of meat is treif, we're not just saying that point of contact is treif. We're saying the entire piece of meat is treif. That's what it says. It says that the whole piece, the whole piece of meat is off limits. That's not a question. How did that happen exactly? It must be that the milk traveled throughout the entire piece of meat. If the milk didn't travel throughout the whole piece of meat, so why am I answering the other end of the meat for? So it must be that the milk traveled, chalav mifapeya, traveled, it oozes, it spreads throughout the piece of meat. So says Tosfos, wait a second. If the milk somehow knows how to travel throughout the whole piece of meat, why can't it go next door also? Why can't it go over to the next piece of meat? What's stopping it from going to the next piece of meat? So Tosfos says, you see from this line of the Gemara that something goes into the chatich itself, but in the absence of rotev, it doesn't cross path. It doesn't go past its chatichah that it landed on. It stops dead in its tracks. It stops at the end of one chatichah and doesn't go to the next chatichah. That's, you see, otherwise the Gemara's kasha doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says, mifalopo, why not? If the milk somehow had the koyach to travel throughout the first chatichah, why can't it go to the second chatichah? The Ran says about this, we're going to get to this one, hopefully we'll answer next week. He said, this type of cholov has Ruach HaKodesh. It knows where the chatich ended. What are we talking about? The milk is penetrating. How in the world does this cholov, quote-unquote, know? Mihi gear, that's the sign. How in the world do you know? How does the milk know that this chatich ends, the chatich starts? Well, what do the words mean? If the two chatichs are touching one another, there's just nebuch no gravy there. So what? There's no gravy throughout the first chatich altogether. The first chatich is above the waterline. So the Ran says he doesn't understand pillei plaim. How in the world did Tosfos know? How did Chazal know such as Ruach HaKodesh that something doesn't mefapeh from one chatich to the next? But then the Ran, then Tosfos has a second chiddush. That's where we're going to end the chiddush for today. Tosfos has a second chiddush. Tosfos says, wait a second, it's not true. Even if the Metzius is right, when the milk hit that first chaticha, chaticha nasas nevela. So why don't we say as follows? That it's true that the milk itself can't go from one chaticha to the next chaticha, but let the meat go from one to the next. Why can't one piece of meat trade up the other piece of meat? After all, that first piece of meat is nasa nevela. So it's like two pieces of hot meat next to each other. Two pieces of hot meat with no rotev, asas, tzli, tzli asas, because they clip, because they deal, something happens. So yes, Tosfos, Dalmiach, forget about the milk not traveling. The milk has Ruach HaKodesh. Don't ask it to catch on the milk. The milk knows somehow, Sisrei Torah, it knows not to go from Chaticha number one to Chaticha number two. But Chaticha number one is treif, because Chaticha Nas is the Vela. So let Chaticha number one ask Chaticha number two. Rabbi Yisrael says, Tosfos, what do you see from this line in the Gemara? Ein HaNesa Yochalesa El B'mach Yisra'at B'yochal Echlisham. If the milk can't travel, then the meat can't travel either. This is the source for Tosfos. So even though Tosfos on Chulin Tzadivav doesn't even mention this Gemara, the Rishonim quote from the Ri that this is it's five words in the Gemara, Mev Lebala, Mev Lebala, that are the source for this Yisoda, Yisoda, Moshe, didn't there Isa? So we don't understand it one iota more than we understood it at the beginning of this year, but at least we have a Raya from the Gemara. So at least one step ahead. It goes without saying that if you don't think the Gemara meant what we just said, then Nufla Yisod, Nufla Binyan. So I already dropped the hint. The Ran had some serious reservations about Tosfos reading this Gemara. If you have serious reservations about how Tosfos read the Gemara, you're going to have some serious reservations about Tosfos' conclusion. So again, we're stuck right between the two chatichas with the milk right now, so hang in there. Hopefully it's by Tuesday. We're going to try to figure out, does this tipa have Ruach HaKodesh or not? And if it does, that's going to help us, and if it doesn't, that's going to hurt us. Hopefully it's Shemul Tree. We'll see as this is going to
develop. Can we eat Fleishik over Shabbos?
Just make sure there's no tipa's cholos in it.